it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything you got is the way you win.
Getting you ready for today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now, here's Eddie and Joe. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hour number two here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Andy Bunker, Smokin' Joe Patrick, broadcasting live from the bridge over Centennial Yards. It's actually called the Steel Bridge, and not because of the material that it's made out of.
Yeah.
No, it's named after Cary Steel Logan, and if you come by the tailgate, you can read the plaque about the life.
It's an incredible story. It's an incredible story
Cary
regardless.
It really is.
But, you know, it's about this woman who...
What a hero.
What's that?
What a hero.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she started, like, an orphanage for African-Americans. But it would be amazing if it were today. This was in, like, the late 1800s.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she deserves more than just a bridge named after her, and I'm sure she does have more than that. But that's what this bridge is named after, not just the material that it's made out of. The incredible Cary Steel Logan. Hopefully the Falcons can live up to her namesake today in the way that they play. But this is where we are. This is where we'll be for home games. We'd love to see you if you want to come by and say what's up. Shout out to Aaron, loyal listener to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, who stopped by and said hi. Same rules apply for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, if it's okay with Joe, as apply for the Midday Show and when we do live broadcasts. You come by and say hello. You get your name said on the radio.
There you go.
Shout-outs will be given.
There you go.
One of the top three reasons to get into radio, in my opinion, is to give people shout-outs. So if you stop by and say hi and tell us your name, I will shout you out.
And it's a great spot. You know, there's a great scenery up here on the bridge.
Yeah.
There's music. There's drinks. We saw the woman with the hard liquor coming by earlier, which was tempting.
Well, she didn't.
We got the grills going on right underneath us in the parking lot. And it's all accessible, so yeah, really cool spot.
Yeah, and we mentioned a little bit off the top of the show, this is, you know, in years past, we've done the Wade Ford Tailgate Show from a few different spots.
Mm-hmm.
We were on Northside for years, right across from what is now the Home Depot backyard. That wasn't even there when we started doing the show there years ago. And then I know you guys were a little bit further south.
We started there, and then we moved south.
On, on Northside, and now we're kind of on the – on the other side, we're kind of on the east side of the stadium here, right over Centennial Yards. And this
– it's cool.
This side of the stadium, like this, I guess, quarter of it, is probably the one that's changing quickest.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
100%. Stuff's kind of popping up over here.
I mean, Andy,
obviously
I remember –
you can see there's four cranes right there constructing some of what's going in that part of Centennial Yards.
I remember – like, I can see kind of the area where I used to tailgate back when I was a kid or in high school underneath in the Gulch there, that area. Basically, that's – we're in a similar area to where that was, but it's – you know, being developed. We're no longer under a dingy bridge, but now, I guess we're on top of it.
We're on top of a very nice bridge.
Yeah, yeah,
a newly constructed bridge. But, yeah, hopefully we're here for years and years, and we'll just sort of get to see this thing grow throughout the seasons, because it's crazy. That hotel wasn't here the last time I was here.
I know,
it wasn't that long ago.
I know that this area was kind of talked about a lot with regards to, like, the World Cup and one of the reasons why they like that. And so I think that by the time we get to next summer, this area is going to really be popping for
the
games there.
If they can do for that construction site and the one next to it what they did for that hotel, which is build it in seemingly 2 months.
It's crazy how fast they go
This
out.
Whole thing is going to look like a different place.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is where we are. Come by and see us. We'll give you a shout-out. Still a lot to get to here in the final hour of the show. We've got our keys to a Falcons victory coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Sort of some final clear-your-head thoughts at 10:40. Anything that you haven't gotten off your chest that's been bubbling up throughout the offseason or today or whatever with the matchup with Tampa. We'll get to all of that at 10:40. But right now, it's time for Joe to tell us who is and is not healthy.
And this injury report's brought to you by Bear and Burton's Fireshire. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com. Of course, you know, the Falcons' injury situation's kind of been well talked about by us here at the station. Jack Nelson, DeMarco Hellam's going to be out today, as well as Caleb McGarry, who's on the season-ending IR, and Braylon Trice, who's on the short-term IR right now. We'll hope he stays on the short-term IR and he has a chance to return this year. More pertinent for this game in particular is around Darnell Mooney. He's been dealing with a shoulder since the first day of training camp. First day of training camp, they're not in pads. He lays out for a pass and hurts that shoulder.
Can I ask you something? I meant to ask you this on Thursday. Yep. We just didn't have time, and it maybe was too in the weeds.
Sure.
Dealing with a shoulder. Mm-hmm. Have we ever gotten any clarification on exactly what happened or what has happened since?
Yeah, like, we talked to Darnell. We were able to talk to him on Thursday. Asked what was the injury?
Uh-huh.
Soreness. It's a little stiff.
Okay, well, that'll happen when you land on it.
I sleep on my shoulder the wrong way, and I have soreness and stiffness.
I fell asleep last night on the couch because the Huskies didn't kick off till 11:15 against UC Davis,
11:15.
Which should
wow.
be illegal. That's, you shouldn't be allowed to kick off after dark against FCS teams, but I digress. I woke up at like 1:15 because I fell asleep funny on the pillow. Yeah, so I'm dealing with soreness as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't keep me out. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
I think Darnell might have been dealing with a little bit more than soreness.
I think so.
So we don't know. Basically, the answer is no one's going to tell us. They don't have to.
Right.
They
right,
don't have
of
to.
Of course, of course.
So, I know. I just with that like being him diving for a pass.
Yeah.
The first day of training camp, and then questionable for the first game almost 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, is pretty wild.
By the way,
and hopefully he'll be okay today. Maybe we don't know. Like you said, game time decision or next week or as soon as possible.
Yeah. By the way, when you're fortunate enough as we are to be able to kind of stand on the sidelines while these guys are practicing during training camp, Andy, I don't know about you. One of the things that just always takes me aback, I'm just like shocked, is the impact these guys come down on the ground with when they do lay out for these passes or when they're, even when there's just like a normal tackle, basically. It's like, oh my gosh, you can feel the thud like in your feet, like in the ground, that like you can feel the earth shake a little.
That's the thing that I think people need to realize when they ever have those conversations of like, could I do this? Could I do that?
Right. Yeah.
Like, not only could you not take a hit from one of these guys if they squared you up, like your organs would be rearranged internally. just getting pushed down.
Right.
Like, when's the last time you fell down?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ground is harder than it used to be. When you were a kid, you could fall and get up. Now you're not.
Right.
You get pushed down by a safety. You're down there for a while.
We were at training camp, and, you know, we just basically you stand by the field the entire practice. Right. And there was one day I was like, I got down on a knee, just like kind of give my feet a little bit of a rest, which that shows you. Tell you one thing. So I take a knee. I'm on one knee for probably a solid 3 minutes or something, and then I'm like, ooh, and I like get up and my knees. Like, all I've been doing is just putting a knee on some grass.
I can't. My kids want to play horseback ride. Like they want to. You know, you get down on your hands and ride around. I can only do it on the carpet. If I horseback ride on the hardwood floor, my knees just yell
for
at
sure.
me. They're like, no, dude, you can't do that.
They bark.
Anyway, that's me and Joe's limitations.
So anyway, to get back to Darnell Mooney, he's going to be a game-time decision, which means we'll find out about an hour and a half before the game, whether he's going to be able to go or not. David Sills, notably, was released off the 53-man earlier this week. He's one of those depth wide receivers, was released off the 53-man, signed back to the practice squad, and then activated for the game today. So read into that what you will, as it might have to pertain to Darnell Mooney. I personally don't think it really pertains to Darnell Mooney too much because they play different receiver positions, but there's that. Let's get into the Buccaneers real quick, and then we'll kind of break all this stuff down. Notable outs for them: Chris Godwin, Tristan Wirfs, Christian Izian, a safety, important safety for them, and the rookie Benjamin Morrison, cornerback, also going to be out. Those guys have been dealing with injuries for quite some time. Obviously, Godwin, Wirfs, the big ones. Jalen McMillan, another key receiver for them, also out on IR. And then another big one that cropped up this week, we didn't know about this, Vita Vea, without a doubt, their best defensive player. Or maybe not without a doubt. Antoine Winfield's also very good.
He might be their best player.
He's maybe the most important player for that defense. Has missed a couple of practices this week. Came back in a limited fashion yesterday or on Friday, but he is questionable with a foot injury.
Yeah, that's look, I would be surprised if he doesn't play.
I would too.
But at the very least, he's dealing with something, and you never know how that sort of shows itself throughout the game. You find a way to neutralize him one way or the other. That goes a long way for this Falcons offense.
Yep.
You know, Falcons fans have seen Vita Vea on the other side for years now. That guy can wreck a whole game plan just by himself. I mean, he's a massive human being. Randy was talking about how he accounts for three different gaps. Just himself.
Right, exactly.
Because of how big and how talented he is.
You can't move him off his spot.
No, you can't move him. He's huge. And he's also incredibly fast for a man of that size.
Right.
So, yeah, that's
And he doesn't play with gloves, which is even more intimidating for someone that size.
Just an absolute maniac.
It's like a sumo wrestler or something.
All right, so let me ask you a couple of follow-ups about the Falcons' injuries. The Jack Nelson one was interesting just because, I mean, obviously, you know, you were hoping that he wouldn't play anyway, but he was going to maybe be a depth guy at that right tackle spot. We're already on your third string guy with Wilkinson being the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the swing tackle? Who's the depth guy that's going to be active today?
I think it's Michael Jarrell, who's the tackle
Seattle.
That the team traded for. Yeah, from Seattle. I mean, he's got the NFL experience. Jack Nelson doesn't, obviously, being a rookie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a little surprised Jack Nelson made the 53-man roster just because he looked like a player who needs some developmental time, which these offensive linemen tend to need.
I think he would have if McGarry
if not for
and
the injury.
Storm Norton were healthy.
Yeah, if both of those players were healthy, yeah, you're almost certainly right.
Opened up.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
yeah,
to take
right.
anything away from him. I mean, he's a young player who's developing, but you watched him play in preseason, and obviously he has some developing to do.
Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about this, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Elijah Wilkinson deals with the likes of Hassan Reddick, you know, a big-time pass rusher who the Buccaneers picked up this year. Did miss one day of practice earlier this week for a personal reason, non-injury related, so there were some question marks as to what that meant, considering he missed so much time last year for personal reasons, I guess, but he has fully practiced on Thursday and Friday, so he'll be playing.
Well, and then with Darnell Mooney, say he doesn't play, okay? Let's say the game time decision is that Darnell Mooney can't go.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about this on Thursday. Casey Washington has been being Darnell Mooney for the last 6 weeks in training camp, in preseason, in practice, and all of that. So he's been getting those reps. The assumption would be that he'd be out there running those routes. How many passes do you think he would see? Like, if Casey Washington is the guy today who is in Darnell Mooney's spot, how many targets does he get?
I would think he probably gets, you know, a handful of targets, five or six, something like that.
Okay.
He's going to be targeted down the field. Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, I think that they'll take shots to Casey Washington down the field, absolutely. I think that that's one thing that he brings to this offense. Like, he brings explosiveness. He brings his physical attributes. He's talked about how he's always been, like, a slow learner in the classroom, literally academically, but also kind of on the football side and understanding the nuances of what's needed from him at the receiver position. But he's been talking about that's been coming along, and he feels a lot more comfortable in that sense. But the reason why the Falcons drafted him last year was because he has this tool set, and that can be utilized right now for this team in a way that's similar to Darnell Mooney. He's just not going to have, again, some of those nuances that Darnell brings.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is say Darnell can go. You know, where's he at just fitness-wise?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy hadn't been able to do much. I know he was practicing this week, which is great to see, but, you know, that's a lot of football missed to try to be ready for a full load.
I feel like for him it's just going to be whether he can take the contact, whether they feel like the shoulders can take the contact. And honestly, if you were just asking me my opinion, I would lean towards he's not going to play.
Okay.
I would lean towards going to play.
Me too. Again, based on no inside information whatsoever other than just it's a really long season, there's no reason not to be careful and all of that kind of stuff. So, I'd be pleasantly surprised if he plays today, and then interested to see what his role is and what his functionality is. Now, back to the right tackle spot. I know that's been a huge conversation the last couple of weeks, rightfully so. One of the things I'm interested to see how they kind of navigate that today with maybe a little extra help over there.
Yep. Could see more Charlie Warner.
How it shows up, really, in terms of what – and it's hard to say because we don't know what this offense looks like, even with Caleb McGarry, because it's week one. We haven't seen him play yet.
Right.
So it's hard to say what they can without him.
Right.
But you'll notice a little bit of extra over there and help and all that, and just kind of intrigued himself out there.
And I'm interested what it means for Kyle Pitts, too. If they are helping him out there, are they just keeping Kyle Pitts on the sideline, or are they using him since they don't have Darnell Mooney, or if they don't have Darnell Mooney, are they using Kyle Pitts more in a receiver role? Like what they ask out of Darnell Mooney, that extra which is not really what Kyle Pitts does. Kyle Pitts stretches the field vertically, but it'll be interesting to see because I think that there's a lot of obviously utility in a player like Kyle Pitts and being able to move him around the field.
That man wearing a sombrero?
That is a hell of a sombrero, by the way. We've seen the sombrero, we've seen a leather bucket cap.
Yeah.
I love it.
That guy's jersey says granddaddy on the back of it.
A 97 granddaddy.
Personalized granddaddy.
Falcons jersey.
It's great. Fans are showing up, man, as we broadcast live from the Wade Ford tailgate. We are on the Steel Bridge over Centennial Yards, getting you ready for the Falcon pregame show in just about 45 minutes from right now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll come back and give you some of our keys to a Falcons victory after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Falcons play here.
I'm here to play ball.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I don't know if we're on the air right now or not. Wade Ford Tailgate Show if we are. We are. Good. Hey. It's better than being off.
We're back.
Here.
And we're back.
And we're back. They probably don't even know what happened, and they don't need to. We're broadcasting live in the shadow of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the bridge over Centennial Yards, where you could tell the game is drawing nearer, Joe. The crowds are intensifying, Falcons yelling in. The sun is getting warmer. The grill smoke is starting to waft even thicker. Things are getting going,
it's
Joe.
It's literally a day that pretty much everybody on this bridge has been waiting for months, if not, maybe, you know, since you saw Michael Penix last,
yeah,
in January, whenever it was.
Yeah, what would you, people always say Christmas, and it's like, yeah, kind of, but like, I don't know, get up early on Christmas and hang out with my family. It's more like.
It's better than Christmas? Is that
it's better, yes, I mean, I love my family, don't get me wrong. Like, I love hanging out with my family and all that, it's great, little kids opening presents and all that. But I don't know, it's almost, I really like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is good because, you know, you kind of drink all day and then there's really good food and there's football, you know?
Yeah.
This feels more like that.
Yeah. Well, there's something different about it.
I'm very thankful for it.
Just like the inside baseball thing. It's like, since it's our line of work, there's just so much anticipation that leads up to this. It's so gratifying when it's finally here and we finally get to soak in it, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And we will kick off. O'clock today, pregame show, Falcons Radio Network starts in just over half an hour from right now. Stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster halftime show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
I like when I'm able to look across at the skyline and I just see smoke coming up, which you know is coming from a grill.
Yeah.
And there's good things on that grill.
Yeah, I know. I want some. That's the only thing is all the grills are down below.
I know.
You know, where we park. So before I walk to my car, I'm going to have to swing by some of these tailgates and see if they have any extra ribs or anything like that.
It's a beautiful thing.
All right. So as we get you ready for the game today, for the opening game of the 2025 Falcons season. Yes.
Is that Rich McKay who just jogged past us? Probably not, but
probably
it looked
not.
Just like him.
It did look like Rich McKay. One thing that I'm seeing a lot of and I really like is they've re-released those the Deion Sanders Nikes with like the strap over the top and the gold on the side. Like,
yeah.
It's such a good shoe. I've seen a lot of people wearing
that one over
those.
There?
Yeah. That couple.
Oh,
both,
I see. With the Deion Sanders jersey on.
Yeah, with the Sanders jersey on. Very cool. The App State quarterback, A.J. Swan, had him on last night in App State's game. They make a cleat version, too. That was cool. Anyway, nice to see people decked out looking good for the game. Let's get to some keys. I've got a handful. I'm sure you've got a handful. There's a lot to get into in this matchup. But where does your mind go to first as far as what it's going to take for the Falcons to win?
Well, first it goes to Michael Penix, obviously, and how he's going to look having not played in preseason. There's so many things, Andy. I was thinking about what I wanted to go to first. But, you know, is this offense clicking? Because it clearly was not in game one last year. And it wasn't just on Kirk Cousins. It was partially due to Kirk Cousins and his limitations. But that parlayed into, you know, what Zach Robinson could call and how comfortable he was in his role, his first time calling plays. I think a lot of that now is out of the way. Zach Robinson has great familiarity with Penix and what he wants to do. And calling plays. We heard in that quarterbacks documentary, remember when Kirk Cousins was coming to the sideline saying the call was coming in too late for all the motions they wanted to do and everything?
Yep,
I think a lot of that operation is going to be a lot smoother today.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, keys to a game on the first game of the season, a good place to start is the quarterback, for sure. I think it might even be more appropriate for this team, this game, given what's on the other side of the ball. And I don't mean that as any sort of negativity towards the Falcons' defense.
There's a lot of unknowns.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And I'm very much looking forward to knowing a little bit more by the end of the day today. And hopefully knowing some positive things. I think my number one concern, beyond the youth, because, yeah, they're young, okay, but they're young and good.
Right.
And there are a lot of young, top draft picks and guys that we have high expectations for. My number one concern defensively with this Falcons defense is how are they going to stop the run?
Right.
How are they going to look against the run? This Tampa team had some good success against them last year running the football. And, you know, let's be honest about it, the Falcons run defense last year wasn't particularly good. I mean, they were bottom third of the league.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Falcons play here.
I'm here to play ball.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There we go. We're back.
Wade
Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Andy Bunker, Smokin' Joe Patrick. I don't know what all you heard about our keys to the game. Me and Joe kept rolling.
Yeah.
Like, there's about six people really close to us here on the Steel Bridge that heard some really good analysis.
Some real good football talk. Oh, yeah. It was great.
But you had to be here to hear it. So we'll try to run it back as we get to some of our keys to the game. Look, it's the first day of the season from a new broadcast location. There's a lot of folks here using a lot of the power on the bridge and a couple of kinks, but we're working our way through it. And you know, we're pros, Joe. We're pros. We know how to handle this sorts of thing. We started talking about Penix, and then we started shifting to the Falcons defense.
Yep.
Let's pick it up there. Okay. And just some of the, I think, reasonable concerns that I certainly have, and I know you have about some of the youth.
I mean, you brought it up about, you know, the Buccaneers run game, and that's going to be key for this Falcons team to be able to keep Bucky Irving in check, you know, and not let him keep the chains moving for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And it will be very interesting to see how this Falcons defense deals with it for a couple of reasons. One being the fact that they are young and they are, you know, using not just the rookies that have been notable with Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman kind of earning starting roles, but it's a lot of these other guys, the Brandon Dorlases, Zach Harrison's been around for a few years now, but he hasn't had a ton of playing time with a lot of veterans in front of him. A lot of those veterans have moved on. And that gives you some concern when you don't have a Grady Jarrett kind of in the picture anymore, and that puts more of the onus on the David Onyemata's of the world to be the leader of that defensive front, but then also you have to have these younger players step up and prove that they're worth. And, hey, I thought they actually looked pretty good in preseason. Those are some of the starters that we did get to see in preseason were on the defensive side, and I thought they looked all right.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And, you know, nice to see them get some of those reps as well. So, at the very least, they'll have a little bit more under their belt going into this game than obviously the guys on offense will have together, having not played really any of the preseason. And we understand at least the logic behind why they
right.
do that. And whether or not it works, I think we'll have
another story.
Twitter midway through the second
quarter
to find out how people feel about that philosophy. But if they look good, then no one will care. And if they look clunky like they did last year, then everyone will be furious.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing every single year. I also think, you know, so often we get up in, all right, these guys are young. Youth means this in the NFL. And I understand part of it is because, like, it's hard to immediately get on the field in the National Football League finished product. You're just not going to. I also think, in terms of some of who these young guys are replacing, you have to think about it like that, right? Like, the Falcons have a couple first-round draft picks on the edge that are replacing guys on the edge that couldn't get home.
Right.
Like, it's not like they're replacing, you know, Jason Taylor and Reggie White in their primes. Replacing guys in this pass rush that were a part of a pass rush that's been really not quite a while. You know, I think it's fair to say that this Falcons pass rush has left a lot for a number of seasons now. So youth in this case and newness in this case could be a step in the right direction. Hopefully it is. The part of it that I'm interested in, because I think you kind of knew when you took those two guys in the first round, those guys were going to factor a lot on defense. I'm interested in Xavier Watts starting at safety next to Jesse Bates, and I'm interested in Billy Bowman starting in the slot as well. And, you know, again, I think when they took those guys, they hoped that that's how it would play out. They also signed some veterans to maybe get those jobs as well, and yeah. They got beat out by the young guys. So those are the ones that you look at. It's like, all right, like a big mistake there results in a big play that could be points.
In this vein of newness, and not to be too poetic about this, Andy, but I do think that there is this sense on that side of the football that, you know, these players – There's like a blank page for them to start to write, like, what they're about. What is this defense about? It's you know, when you have a void of a player like Grady Jarrett, who's been the leader in the locker room and on the field, obviously gets so much notoriety from the fans. But when he leaves, somebody else has to step into that void and become that fan favorite and the playmaker, the one who's getting home on sacks or who's the ball hawk. We've obviously seen Jesse Bates kind of become one of those types of players on the defensive side of the ball who you know, is that fan favorite and a leader for that team. But up front, I think it's going to be interesting to see who steps up. And something that we were discussing earlier to ourselves, I guess, or just a few minutes ago, was Nate Olley is bringing a different scheme to this defensive front, which he's calling the attack style front. And what he wants out of these players is for them to in the backfield to penetrate the line of scrimmage however is possible and to create havoc, create a messy picture for a quarterback in the pocket or a running back who's trying to find a hole, just disrupt things. And to me, there's two sides to that knife. There's one that is obviously the positive, where you're creating tackles for loss and sacks. There's the other where you just get gapped, basically, right, and you get gashed up, between the tackles. It will be interesting to see how this Falcons linebacking core deals with that, considering yeah. You've got a starting linebacker who's a converted safety in Divine Diablo. But again, that's where a lot of this is exciting for me, because we actually get to see it in practice here.
Yeah, no doubt. We kind of banned the phrase, "It can't get any worse" on the midday show, because yeah. It always finds a way to when you say that. So I've started adopting, well, it can be better, you know.
Right, it can be better.
It can be better. It's basically the same thing, but a more positive way of saying it. But that's how I feel about the Falcons defense, is that there's room for improvement.
Yes.
There has been room for improvement.
Yes,
instead of saying it can't get any worse, which obviously it could, it can get better. But, and where they've been the last handful of years, certainly some space to get better.
But I think that excites a lot of fans, though, the fact that it can get better. And I think if a lot of people are expecting it to get better, especially on the edges, we haven't really talked much today about one of the most exciting aspects of this Falcons team going into this season is that you have, you know, Jalen Walker, a Georgia Bulldog, who finally comes into this team, and then James Pierce Jr., who's drummed up all this excitement with what he's done in training camp and the explosiveness that he shows with his speed off the edge there.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where you so quickly move past what you've wanted for so long because you're so used to not getting it that when you go – like, the Falcons, us – people who cover it, Falcons fans listening, like, had wanted a Georgia Bulldog in an early round for years. Not only that, wanted pass rushers in early rounds for years, and they literally got all of it in one guy.
Yeah.
And it felt like we were like, okay, good, now what? Like,
yeah,
immediately.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, no, it's
on to the next.
Why don't we sit here for a second and
on
be
to the
like,
next problem
they,
we've got to take
they finally
care of.
Addressed the thing that everyone wanted them to address for so long, and today we finally get a chance to see it. Not only did they do that, they doubled down by getting back into the first round and getting James Pierce Jr., who was a guy we talked a lot about leading up into the draft and saw last year at Tennessee, and clearly was a player that they even considered with that first pick. So they were thrilled to see that he was still there when they were able to come back into the first round. And so now we're going to get a chance to see what a Falcons defense with two first-round edge rushers look like.
And they need to make an impact in this game. There's a lot on their shoulders. You know, they're going to be out there a lot. And, you know, they're thrust into, again, this very young, dynamic Falcons defense, which we were talking at the top of the show. It might not be the best defense in terms of limiting yards or even points, but if they can create enough turnovers and big negative plays that disrupts the opposing offenses, then that's going to be, hopefully, a recipe for success in getting the ball back to Michael Penix, who can then, you know, lead this team on what we expect to be a high-powered offense.
Here's the two things that I'm looking for from it. The offense and the defense obviously will be working in tandem on this, but the defense has to uphold its end of the bargain on this. I would go so far as to say the Falcons will have a good record at the end of the season and likely be in the playoffs if they have more sacks on defense than they allow on offense.
Oh, okay.
They have not done that since 2017. The last time I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
If I did the research, and then you know things get foggy, but I'm pretty sure the last time that they were able to accomplish that was 2017. That's the last time they went to the playoffs. And then if they can create more turnovers on defense than they give up on offense,
like
those are pretty basic things, but they have not done that.
But
very
they're
often.
They're like part of the Ten Commandments of football.
Those
you
are
know?
Part it's of the Ten Commandments of football. Then you can get deeper and say have more explosive plays than explosive plays you allow, and all that kind of stuff. But if those two things happen, I think they go a long way into this team being a good team.
Yeah.
Penix in his career has been a guy who's been very good at avoiding sacks.
Very good.
Not just because of you know the thing that we talked earlier about. He's more fleet of foot than they probably use. He is pretty quick. But he also just gets rid of the ball.
He
gets the ball out of his hands really quickly.
I think it plays into one of the reasons why he has kind of a lower completion percentage generally is because I think that he's able to, again, we talked about his hand size. I think he can actually, like, he can grip the football very easily. So when he feels contact, he can hold on to that ball and then just get rid of it, dirt it, whatever, but not take that big negative play that the Falcons hope to be creating on the other side of the on the other side of the ball. But yeah, I think it's one of those little things about the quarterback position that can go a long way, because you know that's not what you get with Kirk Cousins. Like, things need to operate very, very smoothly for Kirk Cousins in order to be effective. I don't think they necessarily need to with Michael Penix. Obviously, you need to protect him to some extent, but I think that you have a little bit more leeway with him just being a younger guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, if they can operate execute the play perfectly and have the operation running smoothly, Penix is going to be in the pocket and he's going to dissect the defense.
Mm-hmm. And
if they don't, he's a guy that has some of the physical tools that can keep the play alive a little longer, maybe can move around a little bit and keep his eyes downfield. Because that's the thing, you know, bless Kirk and everything, because there was some good moments last year
for sure.
As soon as he started moving off his spot, the play was done.
He's not
gathering himself and throwing it down the field at that point.
Right.
He's running for his life to try to get it out of bounds.
You're hoping to salvage the next play, get to the next play at that point.
Abe hit us with a very funny stat yesterday, because I think Kirk Cousins was actually the third leading rusher on the Falcons last year. He ran for two first downs randomly. I don't remember what the long was, but there was a couple random ones where the play just flat.
One against the Bucks actually last year. Remember on the road? Remember he had like a 10-yard run on like a third down?
Yeah. Like everyone on the other team fell down or something like that. Yeah. I don't know what the scenario would have to be for Kirk Cousins to run for 10
yards. You could tell he did not want to run, but at some point he had to commit and just tuck that football.
But Penix will have those. And again, I don't know how much they'll ever use designed stuff. Maybe they sprinkle one in here and there in the first month of the season just to give defenses something to think about. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether they'll do that. But if the play breaks down,
he can move, though.
He can move.
Yeah, he can move, and especially, you know, moving to his left. I mean, where he's obviously a left-handed quarterback. I think that there's a lot more to come from him in that sense. In terms of being the playmaker-style quarterback, a lot of people just consider Michael Penix as a pocket quarterback, which is the way he wants to play. He wants to deliver with his arm from the pocket, no doubt about it. But I think that it underplays his ability to move out of the pocket when plays start to break down.
Here's another thing that I think we talked about when people couldn't hear us talking about it. Bijan Robinson has had two excellent seasons to start his career. This feels like a more stable offense heading into this season. Obviously, it's not great that Caleb McGarry's not able to play this year, but nonetheless, he's in his third year, so he's comfortable. It's his second year in this offense. It just feels like the recipe for him to go out there and legitimately be one of the best offensive players. He was that last year, but ascend to where he's considered that nationally and be a guy that you can just give the ball to at any time during the game, and who knows what great might happen.
If you remember this time last year, the story about what we were talking about with Bijan was taking a little bit off of his plate, just let him be a running back, just give him the ball, let him work. talked to Michael Petrie during training camp, and I think that they are feeling more like, okay, we can start to put more on his plate. We can get the ball to him in some more creative ways, and I think that that can just, you know, show you more about what Bijan Robinson can do.
All right, we're going to take one more break, come back and wrap things up on the other side. Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Bear and Burton's Everyday Hot Sauce, your secret weapon off the bench. It's flavor that keeps your taste buds coming back for more. The ultimate playmaker for your game day cravings. Pick up a bottle at thewsauce.com. Final break here. We'll come back and wrap things up. Some last thoughts on the other side. Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Falcons play here.
I'm here to play ball.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, final couple minutes for us here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Tailgate Show has been brought to you by Montlick Injury Attorneys. Injured? Question mark? Pick the right attorney. Choose Montlick. Call pound win. First game of the season, obviously, just a couple of hours away. Right over there, we can see Mercedes-Benz Stadium from where we sit. We are, again, broadcasting live from the Steel Bridge. That's S-T-E-E-L-E. That's a last name. The Steel Bridge, if you want to put that in your map for the next home game.
Blue and green, it's colored.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful bridge. It's over Centennial Yards.
Great views.
This is where we will be every single Sunday home game. And, hey, what's going on? I met that guy at a Dukes and Bell broadcast a couple weeks ago. Yeah, we're on there. I'll be off in like 5 minutes. really nice guy.
Shout out to Langford, by the way,
who just came back. Shout out to Langford, who came by and said what's up as well. One of the many very very friendly 92.9 The Game listeners that came by and said what's up. But, again, this is the lineup for the year. Smokin' Joe, Patrick, and myself on Sundays getting ready for the Falcons. And we've got – what do we got?
I'm honored to be sitting next to such a popular – person here, and Andy Bunker. I mean, this guy is like the local celebrity, judged by the people who are coming by and wanting to say hi.
Here's what I'll say about that, Joe, as I toot my own horn for a moment. I will say that it feels as though the midday show with Andy and Randy has gotten pretty well liked by the audience, which we really love.
It's my friend's favorite show.
It's very humbling, and it's wonderful that that's true, and it's always really cool when people come by and say hello. It makes me uncomfortable to talk about this and myself, but it does seem that people like us, and that makes me very happy.
Yeah,
I give Randy all of the credit. All right.
He deserves it.
He deserves all of the credit. He also is incredibly uncomfortable talking about that as well, which is why you don't hear us talk about it very much. But, no, it's awesome. The show's going great. Hopefully we could do it for years and years and years, and it's always really cool when people come by and say hello. So we got a couple more minutes here to wrap things up. Oh, also, I do want to give a shout-out to Noelle White as well.
Yes.
She's producing the show.
Big time.
From the studio.
MVP today.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, with some of the technical issues we've had, she's been doing a great job, and she does a great job anyway, and she's going to be producing the show throughout the entire year, and it's been really fun working with her today, for me, for the first time, and I know you've worked with her in the past, but we'll be working with Noelle. She'll be producing the Wade Ford Tailgate Show throughout the season, so great start there as well. So with about 3 minutes before we hand off to the Falcons Radio Network, any last few things you need to get off your chest for this one before we make a prediction?
I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring, honestly. I think if this same game were being played in 3 weeks, we'd be talking about a game where, you know, you expect the team to be in the 30s with the final score, and they could be. But I just had that feeling because they have not played in preseason. I could see them bogging down in the red zone. Both teams I'm talking about. I could just see kind of some of the typical early season struggles that you tend to see. So that's kind of my – I don't know if that's a bold prediction. It feels like a little bit of a bold prediction because I'm seeing a lot of high point totals with this game.
I would say that's bold for me just because I'm kind of viewing it the other way.
The way we've been talking about it because, like, you know, I think that both teams are going to move the ball. It's just the points that are getting scored.
I just think that – because of how young the Falcons' defense is, how talented Tampa's offense is, I think the Falcons' offense is going to have to keep up today. And I think they can. I think that they can keep up. And maybe that means they get into a rhythm and they run the ball and they can use some clock. and help their defense out that way. Maybe that happens, and then it's a little bit lower scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the Falcons' best bet today is going to be to move the ball as much as they can, let Penix and Bijan and London and Pitts go, and really try to, I don't, a win for the Falcons today to me feels like first team to 30.
Yeah.
I could see like
I think if the Falcons get the 30, they're winning
26,
this game.
31-28, something like that.
One of the other reasons I just think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring than people anticipate, especially from the Bucs side, is they're just dealing with some big-time injuries on that side of the ball.
Fair enough.
With the receivers they're missing, Wirfs out. I hope the Falcons can take advantage of it. The prediction I had for this week was 23-17, Falcons winning.
So, yeah, you're heavy on the under because I think the over-under is 47.5,
something like that. Yep.
I definitely feel more comfortable with the over. I feel like both offenses are – and I know – defenses tend to be ahead of offenses this time of year. I don't see that happening today, but we'll see. We'll find out. Just so long as they have more
points. The beauty
points,
of it is we get to find out
we
today.
This is the last time I'm going to say we'll find out before I find out.
Fun one
in the books to start things off, Joe. Yep. I enjoyed it. Now put your sport coat on and get in the stadium. I'm going to go have some pulled pork and a beer.
Mm.
We'll talk to you next Sunday.
This Odyssey Sports broadcast is brought to you by GEICO. Switch and save. Get more with GEICO.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.